This is an interview with Elwood Agnew on August 18, 2011, conducted at the Kinsley Library by Joan Weaver.
Full name is Wesley Elwood Agnew.
And where do you currently reside?
2005 Redbird Circle, Texas. Redbird Circle is supposed to be.
Okay.
Bonham, Texas.
And that's Bonham, right?
Yes.
Okay. And when and where were you born?
Kinsley, Kansas.
And the year? And birth date?
2/12/35.
Okay. And what were the names of your parents?
Ethel and Floyd Agnew.
And Ethel's maiden name was?
B.B.
B.B.
B.E.
B.E.B.E. B.E.B.E. Okay.
Right. Well, how do you spell it?
That's all right. You can talk. We also
B-E-E-B-E-E.
Okay.
Okay.
And let's see. We also have Sue Elwood's wife. There's a quick interview here. And do you know your names of your grandparents?
What was that? I'm sorry.
The name
grandparents.
Of my grandparents.
Grandparents. Fanny and Roy North.
Fanny and Roy North. And what was the Agnew side?
That was the Agnew
side. Oh, that was the Agnew side.
And his mother's first name was Virginia, but I don't remember the father's. I've got it on my computer.
Okay, who came to Edwards County? Was it your grandparents or your parents or?
His mother was born in Larned.
Yeah, my mother's okay. Born in Larned.
And so, did she come here with your father? Or
when they got married.
When they got married, where was he from?
Here.
So he was a local. So maybe his parents had been here before him.
They came here.
Yeah.
Do you know what brought them here to Edwards County? Were they farmers or?
No idea.
Don't remember, know their occupation or anything?
My grandpa would go over the truck and hold cattle and wheat and stuff.
All right. In your household, did you have any brothers or sisters?
I got one sister.
Okay, and her name is?
Lucille Agnew Gifford.
And she was a little older than you, right?
10 years.
10 years older than you are. Where did you live here in the city?
1133 Marsh Avenue.
Okay, right on Marsh. And what did your father do?
My father was on the carnival, and then when it come time for the carnival, come in and run Ann's Cafe.
Okay. He would only do the carnival during the warm months, right?
Right.
And then in the wintertime?
They ran Ann's
Cafe. Mm-hmm. Well, who ran it when they weren't here?
Mrs. Skillett.
Okay. Mrs. Skillett ran a cafe. That's sort of cute. When did they become involved with the carnival? About, you know, what year? Or?
We were figuring that a while ago when we were looking at the pictures, and probably in the 1930s.
So before you were born, or just?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay, they were involved before.
He was born in
35. Oh, yeah, but your sister would have been.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they...
The early 1930s, probably.
And which carnival were they involved with?
Broadbeck Street.
Broadbeck. And did your dad and your mother both work for him, or...?
They had their own stuff.
They had their own stuff and just traveled with him?
Traveled with him.
Okay. And what was their stuff?
Oh, they had one time they had a bingo, mm-hmm. and then they had a picture machine to take pictures of people. And then they had where you try to throw a coop around the block ball.
Okay.
Box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they had with them.
So there was sort of a carnival, well, two carnival games, but then the pictures are, what do you remember about the camera or the setup? How did they do the pictures?
You sit down in a little booth and they take your picture and they develop them right now and give them back to you.
but there was an actual developing process
with
the chemicals.
Yeah, and it didn't take just no time.
I think in the interview I just did, we had some pictures taken in
yes,
one of those
did.
Booths. But did they travel with a mobile home
small trailer?
And where did the carnival go? Do you remember? You were a small boy until what time were they with the carnival? When did they quit, maybe, being with the carnival?
I think they quit in 1950. My dad went to work for Beechcraft in 1950, and they didn't go out on it 50. Actually, their last time was 49.
So you were a young teenager, nearly. You were 30, what was it? 1930?
Mm-hmm.
You were grown by this time. So all the time you were growing up, you were involved with the carnival.
He was.
I was 15 years old.
15, okay.
Because then 1940-41, when the Broadbeck split up, Rockwell started his own carnival, and my folks bought a merry-go-round.
Okay, so we'll stay with Broadbeck's for a little while then. So when you were a small boy, they were with Broadbeck's. What do you remember about that time, traveling? And
I know that you've done a lot of moving. You'd set up on Monday, wait till Wednesday. Wednesday you'd move somewhere else and set up till Saturday, and you'd travel on Sunday. It seemed like we were moving all the time.
So it was two stops a week normally?
Normally, unless you played a fair that lasted a week.
Yeah, a bigger thing. And where did you go?
All over Kansas, Oklahoma, southern part of Nebraska, and the eastern part of Colorado.
Do you remember any of the bigger fairs or anything that...
One in Blackwell, Oklahoma was probably about the biggest one they played.
About how many people were in the troop or whatever?
In the carnival?
Yeah.
Probably at least 250 or more.
That traveled?
Yeah. A lot of people had other stands.
Yeah, right.
So, and you know, they had him, her, and the kids. And so it made quite a few people when they did.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that big.
You have to have somebody run every concession stand. You had to have somebody to run all the rides, and some of them took two people, and then times you had your concession stands and everything, well, you had a lot of people on the carnival.
When did you start having chores with the carnival?
When did I start having chores? I think right after the folks bought the merry-go-round, I had to polish the brass on the horses.
Oh.
And I wasn't very old.
About how old would you guess?
Six.
Six?
Yeah. Because they bought it the merry-go-round either in 40 or 41.
And there was brass on what, the harness rigging?
The pole up and down
that the kids hold on to.
Up so far from the horse's brass. Mm-hmm. Got to shine that all the time.
Had to get the cotton candy off it.
You'd be surprised how much sticky stuff got on it.
And would you do that like every night or morning? Or every morning, I guess it would be, or just when you moved? Or?
Usually about when we moved. Mm-hmm. Because they'd get dust in the truck. You know, you had old trucks, old trailers, mm-hmm. You couldn't keep dust out of them.
So that was your first job. And as you got older, what else did you do?
Oh, I got to walk around the top of the merry-go-round and unhook the top, canvas off the top.
Mm. Was there like a little ladder or something?
Put a ladder up.
Put a ladder up.
And you had a little, about 6-inch walkway you could walk on and unsnap all the snaps.
Okay.
And I'd do that while they were getting ready to tear down, and then that way when they got back, well, they could just take the top off and tear it down.
How many horses were on the merry-go-round? You remember how many?
I don't have no
two abreast and...
No, it was three abreast.
Three abreast? So it was a big one.
Oh, yeah, and we had two chickens, big yellow chickens with red beaks and red head.
So horses and anything else besides the chickens?
No, just the two chickens.
Did you have the... little carriage or what? There always seemed to be one that was a little sleigh or a...
Yeah, you had two of them on it. Mm-hmm. They're the seats you'd put older people like sit down right around in.
Okay, and then did you graduate to actually taking tickets or helping run it? Or?
Oh, I run this, the one where you threw the rings around, mm-hmm. try to get them around the block. I run it. They always kept an eye on me, but I didn't ever run it.
And what did they get for prizes?
Usually little teddy bears and some little glass figurines and stuff I kept.
Do you remember any particularly exciting things like storms, tornadoes, police running through? I don't know.
Several times a storm picked up a lot of attention, tore them up, blew them down.
Mm-hmm.
But we never had one that really tore up the big stuff, but the tent got it quite often when you get a high wind.
Mm-hmm.
And the stakes are in the ground, and some ground is more soft, sandy, and it would just pick the tents up and dump them over. And usually spread the stuff in them all over, because at night everything stayed in them. And usually at night, one of the guys that run the rides, work the rides, they'd sleep in a tent. And that way you didn't have to put everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they didn't make enough money to hardly rent going where they went. That's what they did, is sleep in the tents. And that way you didn't have to put stuff up and it was safe.
But you had a little bed in the trailer. And
oh,
so
yeah, I slept in the trailer.
And your mother cooked in the trailer?
Oh, yes.
So
at that time, we ate all meals at home. Mm-hmm. We didn't eat out. Mm-hmm. Of course, they didn't make that much money. You could eat out much.
Right. I'm trying to think. And this is during the war years, too,
mm-hmm.
right? Because
mm-hmm.
Buford talked about that the government allowed them to have gas and things because they thought people needed diversion or entertainment.
Mm-hmm. We got about all the gas they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, well, let's see. I'll come back to that. I thought it was something else. I hope you get old and lose your train of thought. There was something else I wanted to ask you about that part. I'll think of it later. Okay, well then you said they left Broadbeck's and went with Rockwell.
And Rockwell.
And
that was either in 40 or 41, it had to be.
Okay.
And that's when my folks went to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, bought a merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm.
Brought it back. And then they had the merry-go-round on Rockwell's until, like, say, like 49 or 50 right there somewhere. They quit it.
I know what it was. What other rides were there besides the merry-go-round? How big of a, you know, operation?
Well, they had a tilt-a-whirl and a merry-go-round and
Ferris wheel
and
little cars.
Yeah, little cars and one that had the swings on it that they spin you around, you spin around in. That was mainly one.
And about how many carny games were there, like your ring toss?
Between places to eat and everything, they probably had about 30 of them.
So you'd take up quite a bit of space
when
it was all set up.
Took up a lot of space. Because they tried to spread everything out instead of just being on one place, you know, they'd leave places around.
And when did you start going out, you know, in the season?
Oh, they would go out, I don't know, about May, I think, somewhere right in there. And
did you finish your school year and then go out? Or?
Oh, no, I stayed with my grandma.
Okay, and they went out without
they
you.
Went out with me. And then when school was out, they'd come to grandma's and get me.
Okay.
And then when school started, they'd take me back to grandma's. And then when they'd come back, well, I'd go back home.
Okay.
Every year done it that way. Mm-hmm. They made sure I didn't miss no school. With my grandma, you wasn't going to miss no school.
And what was your grandmother's name?
Well, we called her Fanny. Fanny North.
Okay.
I don't know what her real name was.
Her first name was Frances.
Well, everybody called her Fanny. That's all I knew her.
And where was her house? About.
I do not know how to tell you.
Okay.
Where the Stinsons lived, just north, just to the west of it, is the water tower.
Mm-hmm.
We went past the water tower to the first street, turned back left, and they lived in the second house on the left side of the street.
Is the house still there?
I don't know, because I don't know how to find the house.
Okay,
well, I don't know what water tower is.
I don't know if there, but there's two water towers. So
well, there used to just be one over there.
So maybe Miss Rosetta can help us.
See if we can
yeah, Miss Rosetta maybe.
Montgomery's lived right across the street from them.
Okay, well, I'll probably tell Miss Rosetta.
And next door to them, to the south of Jim Mack.
We'll figure that out. We'll put that at the address in the transcript, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
So did you walk to then, let's see, that'd be north side?
No, oh. Anyway, I stayed south side.
Oh, south side.
My uncle took me.
Okay. And that
aunt.
Was your normal?
Uncle or aunt, one of them. Because you walked out of my grandma's door, walked right straight over into my aunt's door, the alley between them, they was straight across. Mm-hmm. And usually one of them took me to school, one of them picked me up. Mm-hmm. A lot of times my uncle was gone. Both of them hauled cattle and wheat, my uncle and my grandma, grandpa. So usually, and my grandma didn't drive, so my aunt or uncle took me to school. And I went to the south side all the way through school.
All the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then I came up to the high school.
And let's see, what else about the carnival life do you want to tell us?
Well, it was a lot of fun, real exciting. Met a whole lot of nice people. And you met a whole people, wasn't nice.
And you enjoyed traveling and doing that for a kid, that was pretty...
Oh, for a kid, that was great. You know, I mean, you got to see a lot of things you'd never see before. Because who would go to these little towns? Because there's nothing there, so why would you see them? On our way up here, we went through three or four different towns in Oklahoma. I thought, oh, I'd been here and I'd been here. We went through Woodard, I'd been to Woodard, you know. You get to see all the little towns.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a nice part about it. Mm-hmm. And up in Nebraska, you see all the little towns up in there. And they play mostly small towns.
Mm-hmm.
Ever, but they always play places like Kimball. Towns about that size, usually. And they always played here every year.
Now, Buford told about playing Nicodemus. Did you ever...
No, nothing about Nicodemus.
Okay.
That move. Before my time.
Before your time.
I don't if it was, I don't remember.
That was, he had some interesting.
One reason I remember Blackwell, Oklahoma so well is when it was time for me to start school, I didn't want to come. So my folks, I wanted a dog. My mother told me, if I'll get you a dog, will you go back and live with Grandma? I said, okay, so she gave me a dog and I went to Grandma's. Only trouble, the dog ended up in my mother's school. When I go back to school back from then on, I couldn't take the dog.
But they got the dog in Blackwell, Oklahoma.
Yeah,
so
they got the dog
in
Blackwell, Oklahoma. Yeah, that's why I make a Blackwell, Oklahoma. So well. And it was a pretty good size fair there.
And how old were you when you stopped with the carnivals? Well,
I was 15 years old. And my folks moved to Wichita. And people ran my house. Our house, I stayed. My eighth grade with them and went to school. I didn't want to go to Wichita. I wanted to play sports. And then my freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year lived with Miss Stewart. And she lived across the corner from Al Knowles Cody's place, right behind the Ford garage on the street on the corner back there where she lived.
So, see, so that was eighth grade you started living with someone else?
Miss Stewart. I didn't go to Wichita.
Yeah, you didn't go to Wichita. That would have been sort of unusual at the time, think?
Yeah. My folks had rented their house out to some people.
Right.
And then they eventually bought it. So I lived with them for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bought the house. So then I moved with Miss Stewart. I didn't want to go to Wichita because I wanted to play sports. I wasn't big enough to play sports in Wichita. Mm-hmm. So I stayed here and played basketball and football.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I understand.
Go over there, you'll find my name on them trophies.
I understand that.
He told his folks that if you make me move to Wichita, I'm not going to school.
No.
I just didn't want to go up there. I wanted to stay here. All my friends was here.
Yeah.
I raised up with them. I wanted to stay with them.
How often did you get to see your parents? Did they come back to visit?
Well, once in a while they'd come back.
About once a month or so.
Yeah.
Either they
come back or my sister and brother-in-law come back.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that when kids are juniors and seniors, but not when they're quite so young as you were.
Well, I wasn't going to go to school. I wanted to stay here.
Uh-huh.
So they let me stay here.
And then you were just part of the family where you were living. I mean, it was...
Yeah, I was down there, and Miss
Stewart was a single woman?
Her husband had died.
Mm-hmm. And no children?
No. Okay. I'd take her to the store.
How old was she?
I have no idea. Probably about 65. Because
she didn't drive me to either?
And I'd take her to the grocery store. I'd take her to her to the doctor. I mean, we got along great. And when my oldest boy had his first birthday, I was having a birthday party at my sister's house, and they called me she died. And that would have been in 19...
That would have been 59, December of 59.
Mrs. She died.
And so she did your cooking in your... She was just
She was
substitute
mother
for you.
She was my part-time mother.
Okay.
I kind of had a weird deal with anybody else. Because, you know, I didn't want to go there, so I didn't go there.
This is what's so much fun about doing interviews, because you see all these different lives, you know.
Different lifestyles.
And how it was. And so you liked sports. You played both football and basketball. And probably track, because you didn't have anything else to do. and you were good, you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did the team do those years?
Pretty good. Yeah. Of course, you know, we had everybody about 5'7", about 5'11", all of these schools had these 6 foot something, and we didn't have no tall guys. Mm-hmm. I think George Stu was about the tallest one we got.
Now you learned to drive. Were you able to drive when you were in the carnival, or was that about the time? Probably not. You probably were learning to drive.
No. I learned driving fun.
Who taught you to drive?
Guy at work from my folks.
In the carnival?
Yeah.
I can tell by the look in your eyes. You weren't supposed to before.
Did you go out in the country here and learn to drive?
I don't know what his full name was. Everybody called him Gunsel. And
what was that again?
Gunsel.
Gunsel. G-U-N...
Something like that.
S-E-L or something? Gunsel?
And he'd come up here and work for my folks. And then when the carnival quit, he'd go back to Florida and work on the carnival. And then when the folks would go back out, he'd pop back up every year.
Okay. Well, yeah. Now, I hadn't thought about that, but people who did that could work in the South in the wintertime.
Most of these people that worked year-round, they would travel back south, summertime, and winter back to the north. And he worked year-round. Mm-hmm. He had a carnival down there he'd go to, come back up here, and when he was done, he'd go back down there. But that's where most of them people. Then we had people like McKibbins who lived in Oklahoma, and they just traveled with us. And wintertime, they just go home.
Okay, I'm trying to think, because I'm not the carnival person. Is there anything else we should talk about? The Rockwell Carnival is what it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And see, somehow... I don't know if I knew anything about Rockwell, because I worked with the pictures on the other, and that one doesn't come up there.
Well, when the two brothers split.
The
Broadbeck brothers. Mm-hmm. Each one started a carnival.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when they started the carnival, Rockwell was a son-in-law, I think, to them.
And that's the name, of the last name? Or
it was Rockwell.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when they split, he started his own carnival. Mm-hmm. And my dad said, well, there's others, all they want to make it.
Watch what you say.
I said too much things, and they went with the Rockwell.
Okay, so there was a Broadbeck Carnival and a Rockwell Carnival at that point.
Well, one time the two brothers split, and there was two carnivals. Mm-hmm. And then
it split again.
And then when the two Rockwell split, or the two
Broadbeck
split, and Rockwell started, and one time there was three carnivals.
There's three carnivals. Mm-hmm. But they were all winter based here.
Right.
Okay. All right. I got that straight now. So tell me about the cafe. What was the name of it?
Ann's Cafe.
Ann's Cafe. The name from.
That's what it was when the folks got it.
When they bought it, okay.
I think I asked your mother one time, and she said, well, that was whoever was the first one that had it, and they kept the name.
And where was that located?
110.
110.
E6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cat Corn Cross from Young's Club.
And what did it serve?
Just
like hamburgers
cafe,
or
everything
and
oh, yeah.
Sodas, ice cream and all that, french fries.
Oh, yes.
Everything.
Okay. My dad made wonderful chili.
Chili, okay.
He taught me to make chili.
Is that one of the specialties of the house?
Yes. Everybody liked his chili. He was different than most people. You take your hamburger, people boils it, or takes and puts it in a pan and cooks it.
Mm-hmm.
My dad boiled it and strained it, mm-hmm. and that got rid of all the grease.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you don't have grease in your chili. And that's what made his chili different.
Mm, my and brothers worked for a man who did the same thing.
That's how I make chili. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine came over one day when we lived in Dallas, and he says, "What in the world are you doing?" I said, "I'm making chili, boiling the meat." I said, "Yep." Well, I never seen that done. So after it got done, he ate some. From then on, he boiled his chili.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it for spaghetti or anything else for cooking. I do it that way.
Yeah. I can remember my brothers when they were teenagers.
I always remember a mechanic at the Ford garage, and I can't remember what his name was. Him and his wife, every night, come to the cafe. They knew exactly what time they would be there. They ate the same thing every night, and they'd sit down and they'd give it to them. And I cannot remember what that guy's name was. But every night, same order, every night.
Not the same order on every Monday night, but the same order?
Every night.
They had the same food every night.
Oh, my goodness.
No, thank you.
They had steak, I know that, every night, and I don't know what it all had with it, but I remember they had steak every night, and I cannot remember that guy's name.
So was there any other specialty besides the chili?
Mother's pies, probably.
My mother's pies.
What were her pies?
Oh, she baked all kinds of pies. She could take 10 pies in there, and usually by supper time they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
People would come in there at dinner time, drink coffee, eat pie.
Probably chicken and noodles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My mother made chicken noodles. You can believe that. My sister said she took after my mother. She cooked the chicken and noodles all the time. And they had just normal buffet food.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they had the bombing range south of town here, they fed the GIs that worked out there. There was like 25 of them, and they stayed up above the Safeway, because the twos had a hotel up there, and they stayed up there and ate at the folks'. And that was one. I had a lot of fun with them guys. They always had something to tell you different.
So his folks could get meat real readily because they fed the GIs.
Yeah, they could get food stamps more than they needed.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and I should probably. We may have to come back then. Divert then, because one of our interests in the past has been the World War II. Do you remember Pearl Harbor? Or not?
I don't know. I heard of it on the radio when I was little, but I never knew. I really didn't know what went on. Because the folks had one of them old funny-looking radios that come up to a point on top, a little down the middle, and they'd listen to it. And I remember them listening to it. But
you were too young to.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Too young to comprehend.
Yeah, I didn't comprehend what they were talking about.
Okay, and you said that the guys at the bombing range were fun. What did you do with them, or what?
We fed them.
You fed them, and just they talked to you, or?
Oh yes, sure. They was the friendliest bunch of people you ever seen, because they knew we had food stamps. They could eat all they wanted, because the government was paying the folks so much a meal. They'd eat.
Did you ever get to go to the bombing range or
anything?
Nobody
got to go to the bombing range. They'd bomb out there in the daytime at targets, and at night they'd set up light targets and they'd bomb on light targets. Like usually about every other night or so.
And this was south of town?
Mm-hmm, about 10 miles out there.
Okay. And did they, I've heard something about they use flour or something to.
They dropped flour.
Sacks of flour to.
In the daytime, usually, and some practice bombs. At night, they always drop bombs. It seemed like it, because you could hear them in town.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I live clear down there, South March, where you didn't have nothing between there and the river anyway.
Mm-hmm.
that they'd bomb at night on light targets sometimes, and daytime they'd bomb.
Now my husband was in Pratt, and he got a little uniform and everything. Did the guys ever give you anything? Or you were just talking to them?
We talked to them. Because, you know, they ate there so they knew us so well that they just talked to us, talked about their home life and everything. Oh, you know, just like normal people of the town. They were real nice.
Did the, and you mentioned the rationing and the stamps there in the cafe, what, were there any other changes that the war brought about, or?
No.
Stayed about the same. Anything else you remember during the war years that your life was affected?
No, I can remember I'll go up to Merle Maltor's gas station with my grandpa, and we'd sit there and watch troop trains go through.
Oh, okay.
Because the Merle Maltor station was on that side of the highway, and the train station right there, and they and said them go by.
Did you wave at the GIs?
Oh, everybody waved at them.
But they didn't usually stop in Kinsley, did they?
Usually not. They would stop about 2 miles. They had to stop about 2 miles out here on a siding, on account of you had the North and South Railroad come together out here, but. 2 miles out of town or so, it went into one to go over the Blue Colorado and over the mountain. So you'd always have a lot of trains come through here. Lots of them.
And they'd have to wait till the track was clear for...
Right. If it was two coming, one of them would have to sit on the siding, you know, they'd be going the opposite direction, one sit on a siding. Sometimes, if you had a train hauling tanks and stuff, and you had a troop train, they'd set one that had the tanks and stuff out there, and the troop train got going through. So we had a lot of trains here, military.
The cafe never had tried to feed or
no,
anything?
No, they fed them on the train. They didn't see rice in public.
Yeah, probably.
But they always went on through. They had no reason to stop here.
Trying to think what are some of the other...
I remember when I was a kiddo, I got to go over from Merle Maltor, and they used to come through here sugar beets all the time when they made that curve, it'd fall off. My grandma would always tell me, make sure you go over and get me some sugar beets. And she cut them suckers and eat them.
Okay. Just boil them up like regular beets, right?
Yeah, they were regular sugar beets, regular beets.
Right, yeah.
And she liked them raw.
Oh, raw.
She just cut them up and eat them.
Any other stories about the train?
No.
Did you ever travel on the train to go anywhere?
The only time I traveled on a train, when I joined the Air Force, I went to Dodge City and joined, and I had to ride a train to Kansas City. First time I'd ever ridden a train.
Hmm.
Funny thing about it, I was living in Wichita. I come out here, some bunch of them was going in service, and they was going the next day to Dodge City to get their paperwork and stuff, and I went over with them. I didn't plan on doing nothing. Sit down at the Air Force recorder because there wasn't nobody there, and before I knew it, I'd signed up to go there. Off I went.
Your battery is...
You want to plug it in somewhere?
No, it's okay. We'll plug it in the car when we get a steam.
Well, okay, I'm going to come back to that. How about the end of the war? Any memories about when the war ended or celebration or anything? Or did you have... Because your father was too old, did you have relatives or anybody else that served?
I had uncles in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when...
Tell them about the radio.
I remember when Warren come home.
This would be your mother or father's brother?
Dad's brother.
Dad's brother.
Brother. No, it wouldn't be dad. Yeah.
Yeah, Warren was your dad's brother.
No, it wouldn't. His wife was. Edith was my dad's sister.
Brother-in-law. Okay.
Well, he was brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when he got home, he bought him a 44 that had the up rumble seat in the back. I thought that was the greatest thing to ride in that thing. And when Orville come home, before he left Germany, he sent him a big, long radio. And he told him, do not open that radio until I get home. Do not try to work it. When he got home, he unsawed top of the case and pulled out a Thompson machine gun.
camouflaged in the radio.
And he had that above his bed until he left Wichita and went to El Dorado. And I imagine El Dorado probably went above his bed again. Mm-hmm. But that was his pride and joy. He carried it all through the war.
And so that was his personal weapon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he carried it all through the war and he brought it home with him, and which he wasn't supposed to.
Right. He was your dad's brother? Or okay, that was his brother. Okay. And he served in Germany.
He served all over because he was in Derby Rangers.
Oh.
He always told me, he said, at night they dropped him in, his outfit in, to where Hitler's summer house was, because they knew he was there and they missed him by 30 minutes. And then he said they had to get themselves back across German lines. He said that was the fun part about it. But he'd always tell me about that story.
Is there any other stories that he told you want to put on the tape here?
That's all he ever told me about it.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, going back to the cafe a little bit, about how many people could you seat in the cafe? Did it have a booth and tables? Or
yeah, it had a booth and tables.
Did it have a counter serving too, or not? You know, where you sit at a counter?
Yeah, they had a counter, okay. A small one. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine the place.
Did they have a jukebox?
Oh, yes, they had a jukebox. They had a jukebox, and the old jukebox man would paint the nickels with red fingernail polish, and you could play it music with it, and then when they opened it up to take the money out, they give you back all the red ones. Because they'd let them play it free.
Right.
And then they'd give the red ones back to them so they could play it next. But it played all the time. Basically, it was the GIs.
Uh-huh.
And
there wasn't room to dance, though, probably.
No. I don't think it held, though, about 25 people or so. Mm-hmm. It was a small place. Yeah.
And your mom and dad ran it.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet your sister was a waitress. And what were your chores?
No, my sister never was waitress there, okay. I know of. I don't remember if she ever been waitress there.
Did you have part in it? Did you
get the worst dishes?
I got the worst dishes. I learned how to cook from my dad, and I got the worst dishes once in a while. Mm-hmm. Especially when the dishwasher didn't show up. I don't even remember who he was.
And so they had a dishwasher, and did they have waitresses or not? Or were
yeah, they had a waitress. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember who she was.
Mm-hmm. They had that man that worked there.
He was supposed to be a dishwasher.
Oh.
When he showed up.
And was Saturday night the big night? Or not?
Really not much bigger than the other night, because the same people ate during the week, ate there on the weekend.
Okay, you had a lot of regular people. Were you open 7 days a week? Or
no.
What?
On Saturdays, the folks run the little cafe out of the stockyard. And Mom made pies, and they had pie and coffee out there.
So was this one closed down then?
Oh, no.
They were both going?
Mm-hmm.
And did they take any time off?
Very little.
Very little.
Go anywhere? They went nowhere. Mm-hmm. They went to Idaho one time to see my dad's brother. And that's the only time. No, one other time they went back to Illinois to see some of the Agnew family. That's the only time I remember going anywhere.
And they didn't regularly take like Sunday off or something?
No, because Dad worked on the merry-go-round horses on Sundays. My folks hardly ever took off. Hardly ever went anywhere.
Hard-working people.
Yeah.
After they retired, they loved to go camping.
Oh, yeah. After they retired, they liked to go camping all right.
But then you said in 1950, was it, your dad went to Wichita to work for Beechcraft?
He went to work for Beechcraft.
And were they making planes for the Korean War then, or were they making just pleasure, you know?
He worked in shipping, receiving, and a lot of it, most of it was civilian airplanes.
Civilian airplanes.
Yeah, he'd re-stuff in. Where he was at, they'd send parts out to airport here, like get jobber there or stuff, that's what he done there.
And what made him make the switch from having a cafe owner, carnival person to that?
He just decided that he wanted to work for somebody else. That he was tired traveling, they were tired traveling. And he went up to Beechcraft, put in for it, and he had a hard time getting to go to work for him. He didn't have a birth certificate. And he was born back close to Louisville, Kentucky. And finally he run down two aunts, a sign of verification that he was born and when, to get a birth certificate. Uh-huh. I mean, he went through heck right, getting his birth certificate. Well, people with birth certificates didn't mean nothing to them.
Right.
You know, now if you don't have one, you can't do nothing.
Got to have that Social Security number.
Oh, yeah.
What about your mother? Did she work when she was in Wichita?
No.
No. She was a housewife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the downtown areas, or it was a little different than it is now.
It was a whole lot different, isn't
it? What was it like back then?
Well, all the buildings were busy. Down on the corner down there across from the clothing store used to be a bakery. I used to go down there at night and them guys would feed me cinnamon rolls till it run out my ears. But they had a good bakery there on the corner. And town was, well, I don't think there's any empty buildings because you had Safeway here and you had Wiedenheimer's down there. And I guess the show's still open, what I understand. Mm-hmm. It was there. I think they ship train shows on like Wednesdays and Fridays or something like mm-hmm. it. Only 2 a week.
Back when you were there, it was 2 a week?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was that way when I graduated in 1955, mm-hmm. still 2 a week. The thing that always tickled me about is they always had the cartoons first. Buck Rogers or somebody like that. But the town then was lively.
Mm-hmm.
I can see now it ain't as lively.
No. That's what I said, wondered about Saturday night, because Saturday night used to be a big deal down there.
Well, Saturday night, all the farmers would come to town and do their shopping and stuff. It was usually Saturday night, you have everybody in town. Usually no place to park. They'd do their shopping in the stores. And about 9 o'clock, you could look around, they were all gone, you know. It was just a normal little old town out in the country.
Okay, let me think. I want to get up to here where you were going in the service, but let me see if there's any. With your family never going anywhere, you did everything in town. Doctoring and everything. And
I was born but doctored Armage.
Mm-hmm. In the hospital?
They didn't have a hospital here. I was born in my house.
35. Well, no, maybe they didn't.
When I went, and I had to have surgery. Went to the hospital. Filled out the thing. This young girl said, "You didn't put down here about being born in the hospital." And I said, "I wasn't born in a hospital. Dodge City was the closest hospital when I was born." And I can't remember the other doctor's name. I think it was Snowball or something like that. One night in basketball practice, broke my nose. Went for a rebound and got hit. Went to his house. His wife said he was at the show. Went to the show. They called. They went down there and guy came up there and I was holding a towel just to leave my ticket. Go over and sit down on them steps. Went over and sit down on the step. And he walked over there and he kind of wiped that blood off and he stuck a finger on each side of my nose and it went, boom, popped it back in place. Like for a long time at night, I could hear that crunching in my ears. I mean, it didn't, you know. But
I'm trying to think. There's probably Dr. Snowland?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
who it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His wife is still alive.
Is she? Well, he said it right down there on the steps of the theater.
Mm-hmm. That's a good story. We interviewed her. She's in one of the.
I'll never forget that. I mean, it's just something about it that has always stuck in my mind, that crunching of my noise.
And he didn't miss the movie.
Huh?
He didn't miss the movie.
No, he didn't miss the movie. He said, "Go over and sit down on them steps." Well, it's just going to be weird. Well, it is weird.
That's a good story. So, let's see. When your folks moved to Wichita, did you have a job too, or did you just go to school and play sports?
I stayed here and played sports.
But you didn't have to have a part-time job or anything
well,
like that?
Well, when I was a junior, I worked for Alan Oll. We had produce, bought chicken eggs and cream. And it was The Ford garage sat here. The next street over was a gas station. Mm-hmm. And next building to the gas station where he was. And across the street where we kept the chickens.
Okay, and it was basically chickens and produce.
And cream.
And cream.
He bought a lot of cream. Bought a lot of chickens because semi'd show up on Saturday nights about 10 o'clock and we'd put about half load on the semi. He bought a lot of cream. Of course, only place around here, anywhere around here in this whole park, you could buy one, sell your cream and milk. So that's where he...
Okay. So the farmers brought it into him and then he resold it to...
Right, because every night we'd take... On Saturday nights, we'd load up cream cans and take them down to the depot.
The depot.
And then when the train comes through about midnight, they'd stick them on the train. And away they'd go.
And what was your job when you were working for him?
Oh. Candled eggs and fed chickens and took chickens and put them in and get the eggs from some people. And
okay, the chickens are live at this point.
Oh, very live.
And you didn't ship the chickens out?
Truck come by and picked up the chickens.
And then they were still alive?
They're still alive, and they had crates, and you just take them out and put them in the crate.
Okay, so you weren't butchering chickens?
No.
So you just took care of them and in process?
We'd have to take in the can of eggs and take them. He'd ride by in Wienheim's grocery store, see a can of eggs, and just take them over to them when they call. They need some eggs. We'd can them, just take them through the back door to them. Mm-hmm. That's where they got all their eggs from. Right?
And then the produce, which way was the produce going, in or out of town? Was he buying it and selling it out, or was he getting it in and then taking it to grocery stores?
The only thing he took to grocery store was Wienheimer's chicken.
It is the chicken eggs.
That's all. Okay. Everything else is shipped out.
Okay. Well, that's a business. I wish Rosetta was here. She might have some more questions about that one. Let's see here.
I always went over and worked in... When I got... After basketball, football practice, I'd go over and I'd go over and put about 12 wheels in on Saturday. Because we'd get there 8 and leave out of there about midnight after egg truck showed up.
And you were in the graduating class of 1955.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else about the school years you'd like to record for posterity?
Oh, I...
Any good stories from then?
Watch what you say.
Some you don't want to know about. When I was a junior, I got engaged.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got engaged to Leoma Rimmer. When she graduated, she went to Denver to a business school. And when she got back, she went to Wichita. And when I got out of school, and me and her broke up, and I decided I didn't want to see her again, so I took and joined the Air Force.
Okay.
And one day, about 5 years, 6 years ago, we were going through my mother's pictures and cutouts, and I found out wedding picture of her where she got married, and I found his last name and where they... I got on the computer and I could only find one Leoma Hagen, so I called and left a message. She told me when we broke up, call me sometime. I said, okay. So I went through there and found her name. One day I was sitting there and I thought, you know, it's been 50 years a day, and I called her and got an answer machine, and next day she called back and said, well, I didn't know if I wanted to call you or not the way we broke up. And I said, well, you told me to call you sometime. Yesterday was 50 years. I thought I'd call you. I thought that's kind of neat.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. What did your parents think when you told them you were engaged as a junior?
Well, they liked it. They liked her.
Mm-hmm. Did you buy a ring and all that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we planned on getting married. Just didn't quite make it.
Because she was... going to school away and it just grew apart, or
no? There's other reasons.
Other reasons.
Than that.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. So you went with these guys, so and they were going to sign up for the Air Force, and somehow
most of them went to the Army and paratroopers. Ronnie Winkler and all that bunch. I went with Dennis Gordley.
But you went in the Air Force, and what did you think you were going to do in the Air Force when you signed up?
I had no idea, and when I had to go take that test, Electronics was my highest score. Only thing I knew, you turn the radio on and turn it off. Plug your light in.
So you didn't have dreams of being a pilot or anything?
I never wanted to do that. Okay. We went to Denver. I was a radar technician. I went basic. Got out basic like 2 days before Christmas. 2nd of January, I reported Laurie Air Force Base in Denver. And I went through 7 months radar school. Then I went to Valdosta, Georgia. Not a good place. Okefenokee Swamp come right back our runway. We had mosquitoes like hummingbirds. At night, they were bad. And I enjoyed it down there.
And what did you do there?
Worked on airplanes.
Just worked on the radar system?
Radar system. Mm-hmm. Then when I...
Because was that repair or was there a plant or...
No, I was in a regular fighter squadron.
Okay.
Interceptor
squadron. So you were just keeping them...
What we were was a training base. We trained pilots. I had F-89s and 94s, and then when they got rid of them, we got F-86s.
So it was sort of maintenance? Is mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we had a sister squadron that was in Denison, Texas. And they had to build a new museum up there, and here a while back we went to it. They had a lot of stuff in there talking about Moody Air Force Base. Of course, they were tied together, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I got out of there and went to work for the Air Guard. And then I was...
How come, because you were in the maintenance... Because this is the Korean War, right, at this point, when you were in?
It was after.
You're right, you're after the Korean War.
And when I got out, I went to work for
55,
the Kansas Air Guard and done the same thing. And then when we got rid of the interceptors, we went to F-100 fighters, and I went to the electric shop. And I left there in 1966 and went to Dallas and went to work for Braniff Airlines as an electrician. And about 6 or 7 years later, I went and got my AP license and become a mechanic. And after 52 years of working with them, I retired.
Mm-hmm.
I had enough airplanes. Don't care about flying about them. I just worked on them.
Just worked on them.
I mean, I don't mind flying. I just don't really. Could we go somewhere? We don't know where we're going. We have an idea where we're going to end up, but we have no idea how we're going to get there.
Well, what's going to happen while you're gone? Like an interview.
We go down the
road. Like an interview.
We go down the road. We see some sign down there. We go find it. Mm-hmm. One day we'd been over Fredericksburg, which is an old German town down by San Antone, going down the road, said,
Luckenbach,
Texas. So we went, turned around the road, went back. We didn't see nothing. Stopped there at the mill and asked the old boy, and he said, oh, go on down the road to the second road. You'll see a couple of houses. Turn there and go by them. Here's this little old building down there. It was a little one-time little grocery store, and in the front of it, it still had all kind of canned goods and stuff, and in the back, it had a bar. And the reason the guy moved to Rip and started that town was, he said at that time, Fredericksburg was just too big for him, and he moved his family out there and started that little town.
Well, that's a fun way to spend retirement.
Oh, yeah. But we've done a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. Seen a lot of things.
So the reason, I guess the reason you originally left the area was you broke up with a girl, and did you want to go see the world, or?
I just go in the Air Force.
Just wanted to go in the Air Force. And you didn't know it was going to be a career choice, though, at that point.
And when I got out to Denver, they were sending people overseas, and I want to go overseas, and I got moody. Never did get overseas. About 3.5 years of Moody.
For Valdosta.
Valdosta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Which is 12 miles from the Florida line.
Yes. Hot country. Let's see.
Humidity was horrible.
Was your family church affiliated when they were here? Did you go to church or?
I did some.
We'll talk about that. We sort of talked about that in the military. We like to ask people about the minorities in town. There weren't too many blacks, I'm trying to think, at your time. One, two?
Skeet mm-hmm. Winchester and his wife. Okay. I always know Skeet.
And do you remember discrimination or anything like that?
Not until I went in the Air Force.
Oh, you saw it in the Air Force?
Oh, yeah.
Even after World War II, it didn't get any...
Oh, yeah. I was in the South.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when we moved to Dallas in 66.
Mm-hmm. When I went to work Dallas 66, they had blue doors and they had an ochre door. The ochre door was for the colored people. The blue ones were white. And they said if they catch you going in that ochre door, they'll fire you.
They still had separate water fountains, everything.
That was in 1966.
He came home from work the first day and he said, "Do you know they have segregation down here?" And I said, "What?" And he told me, and I said, "Well, you're close to Louisiana," because I had spent part of my life in Louisiana. So.
Well, but I've never been around nothing like that.
Yeah, he was really...
In the Air Force, like in your unit or whatever, were there blacks? Was it an integrated unit then?
In my squadron?
Yeah.
I think they were about two or three. Okay.
And the pilots probably not?
I don't know.
You didn't see pilots?
We had so many pilots come in, because we trained pilots, they'd come in, stay 6 weeks or so, and then go out and come back in, go out, and you hardly ever seen a black pilot.
I
down there, you didn't see hardly any black on base, mm-hmm. period.
Now, could Skeet and his family eat in your cafe?
Oh, yeah. At that time, Skeet, every day at noon, you'd go down to the drugstore and all of them sitting down there drinking coffee together, mm-hmm. him and everybody else. I mean, Skeet was just like anybody. Mm-hmm. I remember going with my grandpa over to Skeet's house one time. They had a hardwood floor. You could see yourself on that floor. I mean, that thing shined. But he cleaned all the buildings in town.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I ever knew that went service.
And then how about Hispanics?
Chacons. That was the only ones I knew. Louis Chacon. I run around with him some. And his sister married Nick Castaneda. And, yeah, she married him. And I haven't seen her yet.
Now, at that time, where did they live?
Somewhere back off over here. It's been so long, I couldn't tell you. I don't even know where my grandpa and grandma live, let alone
he says, "I don't remember where my grandma lived."
Well, it used to be on the highway you come over there, and there used to be a little grocery store.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. It's empty now, but it was a duck walled up until recently.
Well, there was a little grocery store. I come around there, and that little grocery store there wasn't there, and I thought, I'm lost.
Well, that's what happens when you don't go back.
We come in through and pretty much missed town. If I've seen all this out here, I thought, this don't look like nothing I know. And when I was here in 80, it don't look like nothing I knew in 80.
But that, again, the Hispanics were pretty much integrated into the community, or was there some prejudice there?
That's the only ones I knew. The railroad used to come in here on the siding. They had the Hispanics, but they stayed, slept on their train cars, ate on the train cars. You hardly ever seen them in town. Now you'd see the Casanovas and them come over from Louisville, but there was a few families over there come over here to buy groceries and stuff out. Mm-hmm. But they'd buy their groceries and leave you. But.
Okay. Well, let's see here. I got on here, we can summarize your life after you left here. You had four children.
Four boys, and it's plenty. About 4 years apart.
And you said one passed away in the Air Force, and the other three, what did they end up doing?
Well, one of them, the next oldest one is a warehouse manager. We got one that goes and comes right now, he's living with us. And the youngest one traveled with bands.
Oh.
He traveled.
He called, but I forgot to ask him where he was.
He travels with...
He's some Flogging Molly.
Flogging Molly's.
And it's an Irish rock band.
An Irish rock band.
Takes and
he's a grip or
he does everything. Mm-hmm. He tunes their guitars.
He's a sound tech.
Sound tech and set up and down and everything. He when I talked to him last week, he was in Europe. They play a lot in Europe.
Well, this call was from overseas when he called the holiday, so he's still in Europe.
Sometimes they go over and stay. They usually travel about 11, 12 countries. He's been about every country.
Sort of got that carnival gene in him a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does. He's got the wanderlust.
He said one of the prettiest places he ever seen is go to Moscow and go through all the temples. He said they're open. You can just walk into them. He said they are beautiful. But he travels all over. He got a little boy 6 years old.
I was going to say, that's my next question. You have grandchildren?
And you could tell he's Agnew because he's on her in heck.
We have twin granddaughters that's 30. Mm-hmm. And they had a brother that was killed 9 years ago.
He died.
He died. He had a brain tumor. We lost him. And we have a great-granddaughter that's 9. And we have another great-granddaughter that's 3. And then we have a grandson that is 6.
And on.
Well, like that. I said, that maybe, he I takes, can see that in the genes. Maybe
he takes after his grandpa.
Looking back, how do you think growing up in Edwards County affected your life? What were the good things or bad things? Or
oh, yeah. Everything was good. I mean, when I got out of school, I had a good attitude. I didn't like school, but I got out and I had a good attitude. School wasn't for me. I had English. I was fine. I hated it. The book part where you had
you're sitting in the library.
Stories. You know how you had to write stories. I like that part. But boy, when it comes to the other, I hate English with passion. See, I could care less what was a noun, pronoun, or any of that stuff. My spelling is horrible. And I read very fast and remember about 90% of what I read. And that's my big death nut. She's got a guy over at the care home who keeps asking me questions, and I keep answering for him. Makes him so mad. Because, like I say, I read stuff and I remember it. And in working on airplanes, they come in real handy. Mm-hmm. And when I was working for ATI in Little Rock, they'd call me up in the middle of the night and say, "We got this problem, what should we do?" I'd tell them, you know. I thought, look, I've already put my 12 hours in. Could we work 4 12-hour days? Yeah. FAA require maintenance controllers. You have to work 4 12-hour days. You're off 4 days. I mean, that's the standard. And I could be on my days off, and they'd call me up. Knew I'd get them out of there. But, you know, I went to work in 1967 on DC-8s, and I was still working on DC-8s when I retired. And I'd been with them all them years, so you know them. Because when I was in Dallas, you tore them down to nothing and put them all back together for an overhaul. You strip them down to this bare airplane part in there, and you learn a lot more than you do over on the line. But I enjoyed my career.
Well, and you said sports were important to you, and you got to play them here. And is that's something you probably was look back on as a highlight, as a good thing about living here.
Oh, yeah. I knew a lot of good people here. Mm-hmm. A lot of good friends here. I had a lot of fun here. A lot of people didn't think I did, but I had a lot of fun.
There's a lot of good people in Kansas. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Old Cliff Kirkbride was nice. What do you call him?
What?
Constable. Whatever he was.
That's right.
Yeah, he's an old man. He was
not,
old.
Not sheriff.
To me, about... No, he was just... town
security.
Kind of security. And he always followed us. And we'd hide somewhere, pull up an alley and turn lights out or something, and he'd get going down the road. We'd get around behind him and follow him with lights off. Eventually, he'd figure out we was back here. When we was over at Young's Club, all celebrating, getting ready to go to service, old Cliff came in and said, "Boy, I'm going to sure miss you guys when you leave. I ain't gonna have nothing to do.
Now you weren't didn't have a motorcycle, did you?
Nope.
There was a lot of guys here that had motorcycles.
Oh yeah, not me, because I did. I rode with David Lessinger one time on a motorcycle.
I was gonna say getting David. Had
that was the only
motorcycle.
Time I rode on a motorcycle. When you get down there and ride down the railroad ties, that was enough for me. Never rode another one.
Now, didn't you tell me before we started the interview that your dad did some trucking, too? Or
no, my uncles did.
Your uncles did
my
trucking.
My uncle and my grandpa.
And were they independent? They worked,
yeah.
Had their own trucks and
yeah.
And they hauled?
Cattle and wheat.
Cattle and wheat. Okay.
Every Sunday morning, we'd go down to the salt yards and pick up the cows and take them over here to Wienerheimer's to the... They'd cook them, cut them up, and put them in the freezer over there, lockers. Every Sunday morning.
Well, what else would you like to have on this interview? Can you think of anything that remembrance or something that?
I can remember things, but you don't want to.
I probably would like it, but I probably have to turn off the tape. We've interviewed several ornery men, I think, when they were ornery when they were young.
Well, I had fun when I was little, and I still have fun. We went out there to Colorado to see my sister. Her daughter sent her son up. He'd been in Iraq and Afghanistan. She sent him up. And she told him, she said, "Now, I want to tell you one thing. You're going to see a whole different side to family when you meet him." And he told me, he said, "Yes, I have really met different side to family. I like your side of family."
And it seems like that side of the family is more serious. Mm-hmm. And
there ain't nothing serious about me. I like to have a good time.
So what did you do for entertainment when you were in high school? That you can tell us. Where did you go on a date with that gal?
Well, usually Larn driving.
Okay. Oh,
I was
okay.
A show
Larn.
Here. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there wasn't nothing around here to do.
Mm-hmm. What kind of car did you have?
41 Chevrolet Coupe. Wish I had it now.
How did you get your car? Did you have to earn the money yourself?
Or? Oh, no, folks bought it when I was about 15.
I get the feeling you were sort of spoiled.
A little.
Yeah.
His mama spoiled him.
Well, and you know, you just everybody seemed to. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had a good time then, and I have a good time now. I bought over where she works. I take her supper. I eat with her. There's an old man there that I've got real attached to, and I stay there, and because he tries to stand up, and if he will, he falls and hurts himself. So I would stay with him about two and a half hours till the aides get everybody else to bed, and then to get ready to put him to bed. And I've been doing that for about 18 months now. And then she's on the board at the crisis center. I volunteered at the crisis center, and they all the time having something for me to do. Then they got an old fort there, was built there in about 1840, mm-hmm. And I volunteered down there. They weren't going to have it open this year, they thought, because all the old volunteers quit, and they put an ad in the paper. So I went. Well, they got so many people, I work on Friday afternoons.
And what do you do for them?
Oh, set in the gift shop, mm-hmm. And keep the doors open, just sort of monitor.
Tell people, mm-hmm. Kind of. I give them a history of Bonham.
A little bit of a dose.
I give them a history of Bonham because I have sat around and read the book, and I remember about it all. And Al Jolson was in Bonham in 1900. At Bonham had the first electric company in North Texas, had the first water plant in North Texas. It was the biggest town in North Texas.
You're a good...
They had, at one time, Phantom County had 2,200 square miles, and it went clear out past Wichita Falls. And then later on, they broke it up into 13 different counties. And we're in a fourth county up there.
16.
You know them all. Or you know that all. Let's see, I guess I could have asked you, how big was your class when you graduated?
I think they had about 52 of them.
52. So it was a pretty big class.
Biggest share of boys. Mm-hmm. Whole lot more size of boys. Yeah.
Well, I think probably.
Every once in a while I get something where somebody out of my class dies. Mm-hmm. I got a deal the other day where Wayne Steinkuhler died. He graduated with it.
Well, we're certainly glad you came back today. And
well, I just...
And we're willing to share this interview.
I wanted to come back. I wanted to see the museum. Of course, I've traveled with it 15 years. I wanted to see it, and then I just wanted to see what Kinsley is like, and I don't know nothing about it because it don't look the same.
Well, tell me how it's changed.
It got so much bigger.
Kinsley's bigger. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Area-wise.
Population. I know there ain't many people here now because I think it said 1410 or something like that on the computer.
No, that's high. That's probably closer to 1200.
You go to the computer and pull it up and it says it's 1410.
For the county? Not the county.
No, for the city.
Yeah, that may be, I'm not sure.
I think when I was here it was around 2000, yeah. Something like that.
Out by the railroad tracks when we came in, he commented, all of this wasn't here, that they built up more out that direction.
We just lost the building. We just lost the KPNL building just last week. That was down by the tracks. The sort of an English Tudor big, they just tore that down.
We're still here.
The light plant.
The last building going out that way was VFW.